So God, I pray that you take these next few moments and you take these words and you make them yours. Because God, we are desperate, not for my words, but we are desperate from your words, from your truth. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, good morning to all of you here, and good morning if you're watching online, our junior high and high school students, and good morning if this is your first time with us. Thank you so much for spending this Sunday so close to Christmas with us here at Bell Press. My name's Annie Duncan, and I'm one of the pastors here, and when I was about 4 years old, I remember asking my mom a question that I'll never forget her answer to, and because most of you didn't know me when I was 4 years old, check out this VP family photo from the night. What's so funny? What's so funny? Those bangs. Woo! I mean, we could literally be on the set of Stranger Things, right? So the question that 4-year-old Annie asked her mom was this: Mom, what would happen if one day I was playing out in the front yard and somebody came and grabbed me? What would happen? What if they took me, Mom? What would you do? And my mom said, well, Annie, I would run after them until they gave you back to me. And I said, Mom, you would run? 4-year-old Annie knew it was possible that her mom could run, but I'd never seen her run before. And so to me, that was unimaginable. And in that moment, I remember feeling like just amazed at, I knew that my mom loved me, but that she would do something that I'd never seen her do in order to get me back, like, that was unimaginable. So we're in this series right now during Advent called Prepare Him Room. And Advent is this time of preparation before Christmas where we prepare our hearts for the coming Emmanuel, God with us. And we've been walking through themes like love, We've been walking through themes like joy and peace and hope, and today we walk through love. Jesus' unimaginable love for us. And for some of us here, we understand how Jesus' love is unimaginable. It is just too much for us to grasp. We can think about it rationally, but then we understand, oh my gosh, like it's just more than I could even ask for or imagine. That's some of us here, right? And then there's others of us here that we've maybe experienced Jesus' unimaginable love when we've gone through something and we've been praying for a certain outcome, and then God doesn't do that, but he does something else, and we're left with, oh my gosh, God, you're even more than I thought. It's so good. And then there's other of us here, and we're maybe still trying to figure out, you know, what Jesus' love is all about, and we're just not really sure. No matter where each of us are at in our faith journey, right, Jesus' love is always new to us because it's got that unimaginable, amazing quality to it. So whether you've been walking with Jesus for 90 years or 9 days or not at all, know this, we all have something in common, because none of us have grasped Jesus' love yet, because it's too big, it's too wide, it's too high, right? And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he prays a prayer for them, and it's an awesome prayer. But who is Paul and who are the Ephesians? Well, Paul was a guy that lived 2,000 years ago, and he went around teaching all about Jesus. And he is considered one of the key figures in history that helped Christianity spread. And the letter to the Ephesians is a church in Ephesus, and Ephesus was this ancient Greek city on the coast of Iona. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians so many years ago, he writes to the church, and he writes to those who are trying to put their faith in Jesus. And his bottom line, Paul's fervent desire, is that the church, and that's all of us here because of the spread of Christianity, so this is to all of us now, is that the church grasp how wide and deep and long and high is the love of Christ. So according to Paul's prayer, how do we do that? Here are three things that Paul prays for that show us how to grasp Jesus' unimaginable love. And the first is this: Paul prays for power. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Basically, the kind of power that Paul is praying for here isn't outward power, but it's inner power. He prays that the Father would strengthen us through the Spirit in our hearts so that Jesus may go with us wherever we go. And that word strengthen, it's passive. This is a kind of power that's being done to us. We don't achieve it, we just receive it. That's good news. And the word for power comes from the Greek word dunamos. And this power, this word for power gets used over and over again in the New Testament. And it isn't about human power, it's about supernatural power. The kind of power that Paul is praying for us is given to us by the Spirit. So wait, what's the big deal? Like, why do our hearts need to be strengthened, and why do we need this, like, supernatural kind of power? Well, we need this supernatural kind of power in order to grasp Jesus' unimaginable love. Back in my 20s, I lived in a condo in Redmond, and one night, in the middle of the night, I woke up absolutely terrified. And I don't know if I was awake or if I was dreaming, but I was scared, like the most scared I'd ever been, because there was something in my room. And the only way that I can describe it to all of you is, you know, the Matrix, the movie The Matrix, all the green letters and code, like, flying around. Well, that was in my room, but it was frightening, like something very, very scary. And so there I am, I'm frozen in fear, and I'm like cold sweat, right? And I don't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? You pray. And so I pray this very simple prayer, and I say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And just like that, I went from being the most scared I'd ever been to feeling incredible peace. And I laid back down, and I went back to sleep, just like that. I woke up the next morning, and I was like, whoa, what was that? Was that the hot dog I ate for dinner? Like, what happened? But I also remember thinking, like, how did that even happen? Like, how did I go from the most scared I've ever been to feeling so much peace that I fell right back asleep? That's unimaginable, right? No, that's Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the kind of power that we need to grasp Jesus' love, it isn't found by lifting weights in the gym, but it's found by Jesus dwelling in our hearts. And there is no doubt in my mind that that night in my condo so many years ago, that Jesus was with me powerfully. And I got to experience how perfect love drives out fear. Now, I know that Jesus is also with me right now, but you all get to be the judge of whether he's with me powerfully or not. But seriously, there are times when I experience Jesus with me powerfully, and then there are other times where it's only in hindsight that I look back and I was like, oh yeah, God was with me, I just didn't know it at the time, or I didn't feel it at the time, right? Sometimes we feel it, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we just know by faith. And that might be the case for you too. Sometimes you know that Jesus is with you, and then there are other times when you just have to believe in faith. So there's power. This power that Paul is praying for us is that we might know that because of Jesus' love, God is in us. Emmanuel, God with us. So Paul prays for power, that our hearts be filled with this supernatural power. And then Paul prays again, and Paul prays for more power. But the second time that Paul prays for power, it's a little bit different. This time, it isn't to strengthen our hearts internally, it's to strengthen us externally and in community. Ephesians 17 and 18, chapter 3, 17 and 18, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. Emmanuel, God with us, and Emmanuel, God with us all. We need each other in order to experience Jesus' unimaginable love. There have been times when I've helped others experience Jesus' love when they couldn't experience it for themselves. And then there have been countless times when people have stood in the gap for me and believed when I couldn't, or believed when I had questions. We can't do this life, the life that Jesus calls us to live. We can't do it without each other. So we need his power, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need each other. A few months ago, I was hanging out with some young adults from Bell Press, and I was helping them hear how to hear God's voice. I was teaching them. And at the end of the night, before we all left for our homes, the group leader asked, hey, does anybody here want prayer? And a young adult woman named Jean, she said, yeah, I'd love some prayer. So we all gathered around her. And because I'd just been teaching them how to hear God's voice, I said, well, let's all listen on Jean's behalf. Let's pray for her and listen and hear what God might want to say to her in this moment. And so we prayed for a few minutes. And then we started to share what we heard. One person saw a picture of a yellow flower. Another person saw a picture of a yellow sun. And I saw a picture of Jean as a little girl in a yellow dress, and I heard the word beautiful. And as soon as those words were out of my mouth, Jean and her sister Chantal, who was also there, started to laugh. And we were all like, wait a second, why are you laughing? Prayer is serious. Like, what's happening here? And Jean's sister Chantal explained. She said, you know, growing up, there's this picture of Jean as a little girl in a yellow dress, and this picture is a family joke because Jean is making this funny face in the picture, and their entire lives, they've called it the ugly picture. The ugly picture. And all of us gathered there were like, what? That's crazy. You know, we didn't know that about Jean and Chantal and their family story, but Jesus did. And Jesus spoke directly to the heart of what Jean had experienced over her whole life, hearing that this picture was the ugly picture. And he said, oh no, it's beautiful. You are beautiful. He reclaimed that. He redeemed that. None of us knew what he was going to do. Now, this story, this might sound like a little supernatural, like woo-woo. And that's okay, because it was. And sometimes that happens in the Presbyterian church, and we'll all be okay. But the really cool thing was, is in that community, gathered there, like our faith was increased because of what Jesus did, and Jean's faith was increased because of what Jesus did, and it was an act of profound love, right? It was so good. Jesus, it was as if Jesus said to her, Jean, you've been told this your whole life, but I tell you this. And some of us, we might need to know that, right? There might be things in our lives, lifelong narratives that we've been spoken over our lives that we need to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, reveal your truth to me because I've been told this and I want to know what you have to say about that, God. And we can do that because we have access to that kind of love all the time. That's good news. So in order to grasp Jesus' unimaginable love, it's going to take that double shot of power, right? It's going to take that supernatural power inside our hearts. It's going to take the power of believers gathered together in community. And the power that Paul prays for us in our hearts and in community, it isn't to accomplish some amazing task that Jesus has for us. It isn't to, like, wage war on the devil. But it's to grasp Jesus' love. That's what that power is for, which brings us to the third thing that Paul prays for. Paul prays for us to comprehend the unimaginable. And I pray that you may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Paul prays that we have power to comprehend Jesus' love because we can't comprehend Jesus' love. We can't do it. It's too wide, it's too long, it's too high, it's too deep. It's out of our grasp. There's a podcast that I listen to on a weekly basis, and one week they interviewed Dr. Michael Gervais, who's the high-performance psychologist on staff with the Seattle Seahawks. Go Hawks. So just to be clear, I'm talking about Dr. Michael Gervais, not Ricky Gervais. This isn't a funny joke. Okay, we're with the Seahawks now. So on the podcast, Dr. Gervais, he talked about the kind of work that he does with the Seahawks. And he said this, as humans, we can only train our craft, our body, and our mind. More often than not, most individuals only focus on the first two. But without training your mind, you will never even scratch the surface of your true potential. Okay, so what's he getting at here? Most of us have had training for our craft, right? Maybe some of you went to med school. Maybe some of you got a degree in social work. We've had training, right? And then most of us have had training for our body. Maybe you've just completed your 100th class at SoulCycle, or maybe you attend a weekly class at a CrossFit gym. We know what that looks like. But Dr. Gervais asks, have you done any formal training for your mind? And where do you go to get that kind of training? He says that we can only train three things, our craft, our body, and our mind. And if you're playing professional sports like football, you're not going to leave that third stool of the leg up to chance. So he works with the Seahawks in order to train their minds, right? In order to be prepared for any circumstance. like the Arizona Cardinals today at 125. Go Hawks. You guys, for some reason, though, I listened to this podcast back to back, three times over. There was something familiar about Dr. Gervais' words. There was just something about them that I was drawn to, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then after about the third listen, I realized, oh, I know what he's talking about. I know exactly what he's talking about. The Bible talks about this all over the place. Training our minds, it's not just for NFL players. But it's what Paul's talking about in Romans. In Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's what Paul's talking about to the Ephesians. Paul prays that we comprehend Jesus' love. So we need to train our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of community in order to comprehend it. And experiencing this unimaginable love is what takes us from thinking that we're ugly to knowing that we're beautiful. In the eyes of God, we are beloved. In the eyes of God, we are worthy of love. There is no ugly picture of you in God's eyes. And Jesus' love, it has no prerequisite. So maybe you're in this spot where you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in Jesus' love. I don't know. I like Christmas, but I'm not really sure I believe in Jesus. And that's okay, because Jesus' love, it's not dependent on whether you believe it or not. His love is unconditional. And at Christmas, we celebrate how God has gone to great lengths to show us the extent of his love by sending Jesus, God in flesh, to us as a baby. Jesus moves into the neighborhood. He makes his dwelling among us so that he can dwell in our hearts forever. There is no God like this. There is no other God like this. So Paul prays for power. And then prays for some more power. And then prays that we comprehend the unimaginable. But his prayer actually doesn't end there. It ends with this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's the bottom line. Jesus power is at work within us. It engages our craft, it engages our body, it engages our mind, it turns the lights back on. It engages us. It transforms the way that we see things, right? And even though we'll never fully grasp just how amazing God's love is for us, that's okay. That's actually good news because it means it is new every day, every day. Okay, I'll close with this. 3 years ago, my friend was shopping at Home Goods during Christmas time. And just to set the scene a little bit, she was shopping with her three small kids. She was 7 months pregnant at the time, and her husband was out of town. Did I mention it was Christmas time? So you know that there's a story here. So while she was shopping, her three-year-old son got mad at her because he didn't understand, "Mom, why aren't you buying any of these presents for me?" Like, makes sense, right? 3 years old. And it was shortly after that she lost him. He was gone. She couldn't find him anywhere. And the store had to call a code Adam. It went into lockdown. Like, was he taken? Had he run away? What happened? I mean, panic mode, right? If you're that mom towing three little kids, where's my son? Where's my son? Can you imagine the panic that she must have felt? So then, after what seemed like forever, they found him. He hadn't been taken. He was hiding. Now, I bet you think you know how this story ends. And I'm going to tell you, you have no idea what's coming. So she's sobbing, right, with the Home Goods manager. She's just been reunited with her son, and she can't hold it together. Oh, my gosh, I thought you were taken, and now we found you. And so she gets on the phone with her husband, and she's recounting what's happened. And I can only imagine how that phone call must have gone. I wasn't there. But, you know, oh, my gosh, I thought he was taken, and then we found him, and code Adam, and oh, my gosh, all these things. Like, I'm flying off the handle. I'm not my friend. But I can imagine how that phone call must have gone, right? So as she's recounting this story with her husband, they start talking about the story that they'd been reading their kids. And it's the story, this is where I lose it every time in the sermon, I promise I will land the plane. They've been reading the story of the prodigal son to their kids. And if you don't know the story, it's in the Bible, look it up. But it's a story about a son who takes his inheritance and he leaves. He spends all this money. And then he comes home. Oh, man, I'm going to get through it. Christmas, feelings, all the feelings. He comes home and he thinks, you know, I'm not going to be accepted. Maybe my dad will hire me as a hired hand and I can make a little bit of money because I got no more money. And his dad throws a party for him because he's so excited he's come home. So they're talking about this. We're back to the phone call now. They're talking about this. And they're like, oh, my gosh, maybe our son is remembering that story. And he hid so that he could be found. And so you know what she did? This is what you don't even see coming. She threw him a party. She took him out to ice cream, and she threw him a party because she was so excited that she had found her son. Okay, now some of you parents out there are thinking, but wait, where's the lecture? Like, he's just going to run away every time we're in a store. But don't get hung up on that. Because this story illustrates Jesus' scandalous love. It illustrates how we don't always get what we deserve. And that is good news. And this is the part in the sermon where I ugly cry every time. Because, y'all, this story is about all of us. We hide. We run away. But Jesus' love takes us back every time. Every time he throws us a party. Every time he says, you think you're not worthy? Let me show you how worthy you are. That is the love of a father. That is Jesus' unimaginable love. Y'all, God lost a son too, right? He showed us the extent of his love when he said, I would rather die than lose you, so I did. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas and all year round, that we have access to this kind of unimaginable love. So can we all experience that? I think we can. Amen. So Jesus, we thank you that your love is the kind of love that we never see coming. We thank you that your love is unimaginable. We thank you that your love breaks through and your love takes us back. So God, I pray for those gathered here that we can all experience your love in a new and powerful way this Christmas time, whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the 100th time. God, whether we know it or not, we need you. Every hour, every second, we need you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.